I want to share with you a message. You know, I was just kind of waiting in my spirit till I got here, actually till moments I got here, what the Lord would have me to share. And I've been thinking about this the last, I'm not sure how long, maybe a couple of days now, what I'm going to share. I spent some time in the Word. I spent lots of time thinking about this. And so I'm going to talk to you about overcoming the fear of the future. Of course, this topic is on fear. And there are things that, you know, we're grappling with right now that we need to get a handle on, and that is how to handle fear. The second thing is how to find peace, where to get peace. And, you know, we need to learn how to have peace, and thirdly, how to protect ourselves in these times. And so I had three messages that was kind of rolling around my spirit the last little while, and asking, you know, kind of going around in my spirit. And I kind of landed on this one here, overcoming fear of the future, because I think that's where everybody's at right now, naturally speaking. And I want to get the heart of God on what I was going to say. And so Psalm 34, verse 4, I want you to turn in your Bibles there. If you're at home, write some notes down, or you can tape this session if you want to, or go back to it. We'll have it on the air on our website. You can go back to this message again. Psalm 34, 4, and I'm going to read the King James Version. It says, I sought the Lord, and he heard me. Well, thank God that we can seek God and understand he hears us. The psalmist says, and he delivered me from all my fears. If you're at home, say, all my fears. Say, God has delivered me from all my fears. So you need to know that God has taken care of all fears. The scripture says here, the psalmist, he's praying unto God. He's reaching out to the Lord. The idea of my message this morning, what I want to get across to you, is that knowing God and knowing how much that God loves you will drive away all fears. I want you to put that down somewhere. When I know God, or knowing God and how much he loves me or you, that will drive away all fears. You know, when you love someone, you know, we have people that we love, and we want to do everything to protect and nurture whatever we love or the people we love. I want to share a scripture with that idea. Over here in 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, God's Words translation, it says this. Remember, knowing God and knowing how much he loves you will drive away all fear. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, and this is God's Word translation. It'll say different in the King James a little bit, because this way will help it you understand more. It's just strictly straight out English of today's language. So it says, no fear exists where his love is. No fear exists where his love is. Rather, perfect love gets rid of fear, because fear involves punishment. The person who lives in fear doesn't have perfect love. And that says it all right there. When you know God, the Bible says God is love. When you know God is a God of love, when you know that, you know nothing bad is going to happen to you when you turn to God. Now, I'm sure there's going to be bad things happen to people, but maybe they haven't turned to God. The Bible says we need to come to God. Notice here's another scripture that will really solidify that thought. Romans chapter 8, verse 28, the King James Version says this. And we know that all things work together. That's talking about right now even. For good to them that love God. The Bible says if you love God, things are going to work together for you. To them that who are called according to his purpose. You know, God has a purpose for our lives, and we need to know. When you know that God has a purpose for your life, and you connect with that purpose, you know that nothing bad is going to happen to you when you walk close to God. And so thank God for that, for those scriptures. And if you have fears today about the future, I believe that this will help you out. The question is, do you have fears about what's going to happen tomorrow? You know, there's a whole pile of people running around the city. They're collecting as much food as they can. They say up to 3 weeks or something. They're saving things. You know, there's a lot of jokes going on about the toilet paper, but there's people that are actually afraid that we're going to run out of everything. And so when you understand, as I mentioned, that when God loves you and has made a wonderful plan for you or your future, Your fears will cease. The prophet Jeremiah wrote this. It gives us a lot of hope. I know when I was struggling with different areas of my life, or somebody else is struggling, and even my children. And this scripture would pop up in my spirit. Jeremiah 29:11, the New English Translation says, "For I know what I have planned for you, says the Lord. I have plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a future filled with hope." So God has a plan that's filled with hope that He has for you. In this tough time, you know, there's going to be crowding of fears of all kinds of things. But if you keep your mind on the Lord, here's what, Isaiah 26:3 says, that he says that, you know, if God will keep you in perfect peace, and those who keep their mind on God, God will keep you in perfect peace. So the Apostle Paul says over here in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, the Amplified Version, the Classical Edition, said this. He said, "For we are own God's handiwork, His workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined or planned ahead." You know, God has already planned your breakthrough. God has already planned whatever the devil's trying to do in your life, whatever situation life throws at you. God already made a plan for you. He says in here that, born in Christ Jesus, born in you, that we might do those good works which God had predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which He prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the good life which He prearranged and made ready for us to live. So God is so wonderful that He already made a plan for us to do good things, to enjoy the good things in life that He's already planned. And so our future looks good. When you look at the scriptures, you might look at the world. You know, this is the time we look at, people are listening to all kinds of things happening, even different scientists or different people are just kind of sometimes contradicting each other about how long this is going to last or what's going to happen and whatever, remedies we're going to apply to this COVID-19 situation across the world. And listen to all the news that's going on and all your Facebook messages, your feeds going crazy with different messages, you know. When you look at that thing, it could throw you off mentally, emotionally, and can affect you in your physical body. So we need to look to God, look to His Word. And so I want to encourage you today to look at the Word of God and say, this is what God's Word says about me. This is what God's Word says about my future. And He's already taken care of my future, and I'm in God's hands. So, you know, there's something called fear of the unknowns. You know, there's all kinds of fears. But one of the things that people struggle with is, I don't know what's going to happen in my future. No one can really know the future. Some people try to know the future by different things, you know, maybe even through different kind of occultic practices or different things. No one knows the future. You know, God can reveal some words about your future or give you a small picture about your future. And God gives us those kind of things in the scriptures, that He might even give you a word of knowledge or a vision. He might give you a small, dream or whatever it is. But He can do that. Only God can do those kind of things. Some people try to predict the future and try to make it like it seems like it's more gloomier than it is. Or some people might even give you a picture. It's a good picture when it's not going to be a good picture, and you get disappointed. So you have to stick with the Word of God, which is a foundation of all your sanity and your strength. So today many people are looking to the future with fear and trepidation because there are many unknowns in their lives, especially during this COVID-19 pandemic. It has many implications of how we do things right now and for the future. Life will never be the same, somebody said. Just like 9/11, we live differently than we did before 9/11 happened. I remember the day, I remember the hour when I saw, the planes going on that, hitting the World Trade Center. I was in college, I was having my lunch break, and I saw this on a screen in our cafeteria. And life was never the same after that. Things changed. Many things people are fearful about, like the fear of getting old. There's a lot of people afraid of getting old. You know, maybe you got too much wrinkles now, whatever. They're afraid of retiring. They're afraid of changing jobs. They're afraid of changing careers, relocating to a new city, getting a new place, getting a new house. Many fear they might not ever have a house. Maybe people are losing their house. Fears in these turbulent times, economic conditions that are happening with all the financial things that's happening in Wall Street. They think that things will get worse. Fear of lack of employment, not having enough money to spend to make ends meet. And people are afraid that the stores will not have what they need. And so they're afraid continually, having all these fears, and it's putting a stress on their mentality, putting a stress on their relationships, putting stress in their homes and expectations not being fulfilled and so on. So we have fears of all kinds. There's great fear regarding our social and economic situations and our drug epidemic we have in our own city right here and in the cities across the nations and all the things of how to handle the resources for it and the resourcing for this COVID. There's fears about having medicines and supplies and the people to handle it. So many fears, even like fears of erosion of our value systems. People say, we're not the same. We don't care about the same things we used to do. We don't take care of things. So they say we're diminishing, and our identity is what makes us Canadian or what makes us people today. We're diminishing because we're losing value. Or losing value as a Christian nation. We say we're a Christian nation, but we're not a Christian nation. People are just talking about all kinds of stuff. And so, but with all those things, God says that in the face of the future, all these uncertainties, by putting our trust in God, the Bible says He has us covered. So we need to learn how not to be victims of our fears regarding the circumstances that face us today. We can rely on God and His Word to know we can face the future fearlessly. We can just say, thank God, He has a plan for me. I know this is a troubled time, but I'm not going to get down on it because God has me covered. Say that wherever you are. You know, what is fear anyway? You know, I mean, you could describe fear in so many ways. Since doing this message, I've kind of looked at different definitions. Primarily, I want to come at it from a spiritual side because we want to talk about that because it's a foundation. You can talk about fear from a very natural or scientific natural meaning. Bible says fear is more than just a mental situation. It's also a spiritual thing. Scripture says that fear is a spirit. It's a person or an entity. This affects our mental and emotional realm of our humanness. Here in 2 Timothy 1:7, the King James says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but a power, a love, and of a sound mind. You see, we're not born with fear. No one is born with a gene or whatever it is, a compartment in your physical body or your spiritual body. We're not born with to fear. When you're born again, you're not born. God didn't give you a spirit of fear when you were born again. The Bible says when you're born again, God gave you a spirit of power. That spirit of authority that you have, that God has given you. He's given you a spirit of love and of a sound mind. You know, you need to grab a hold of your mind today and say, hey, mind, I'm going to focus on the things of God. And I'm not going to focus on this lack. I'm not going to focus on this situation right now. I'm looking at the things from how God looks at it. So the dictionary says fear is fear is a distressing emotional thing caused by the idea of some impending danger or pain or threat. So no matter if that fear is a real fear or imagined fear, it has negative effects on you. It takes a toll if you're afraid of something. It over the years starts affecting you, affecting your body. But in our chapter, it says Psalm 34:4, it said that God delivered this man, David. He delivered him from all his fears. And I believe that this is appropriate for us today to know that God will deliver you from all your fears. God has delivered us from all fear. Psalm 91 says, not one evil thing will occur because God will protect us if we stay in His will and continue to stake our faith on His word and make a confession. Let's look at it over here in Psalm chapter 91, 116, the New Living Translation. Let me just read this in the Psalm, the New Living Translation. It says here, those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. See, there is a God side and a man side to this protection in your life. There's something that God does. He's already made provision. There's something that you have to do in order to get the permit, that provision. He says, this I declare. So this is something that you declare over yourself. You have to prophesy God's word into your life. The Bible says, you know, we can say what God says. You know, when you pray, when people pray, they're praying what God says. So it's the same thing. You can either pray to God or just you can just prophesy it over your life. It's the same thing. Some people say you can either pray it or say it. So it says here, this I declare about the Lord. This is what you and I have to say. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He's my God. In Him will I trust. It just has to do with faith. So your part is putting faith, putting trust, reliability, confidence in God and His word. That's your part. You have to do that. Believe that. For He will rescue you. For then He will rescue you when you put your faith in Him. He'll rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly diseases or deadly disease. So this disease, you know, we could put our faith out and trust God, say, thank God, I will not have this. You need to say that boldly. Say, I'm not having this. And trust the Lord to do His part. He said to you, you have to confess that. I'll do my part to go by what you say is going to happen in your life. And so you need to say that. If you say, thank God I'll not have COVID-19 or none of my family will not come near my house. That's what you have to say during this time. And you have to say, thank God that God, you put leadership over our nation. You put leadership in our city to take care of these medical issues or whatever we need. I thank God you're going to give them wisdom. You're going to protect them, strengthen all our medical people. We pray that you would strengthen all our staff here in our city. Begin to believe that. God's going to help. He's going to do the work. He said He'll rescue you from this, all this stuff. So He'll cover you with His feathers. He will shelter you with His wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. Do not be afraid of the terrors of the night. Here is something else that you have to do, and that is you have to make a choice to not be afraid. You have to make a choice not to have fear dominating your life. Hallelujah. You know, I made a choice years ago. I said, I'm not going to be afraid of anything. I put my trust in God. I begin to see that scripture. I begin to see that God says, do not be afraid. I kept seeing scriptures like that over and over in the New Testament, Old Testament, all the time. Do not be afraid. So I said, you know, okay, so, if that, you know, I struggled with fear, and I began to see that I didn't have to be afraid. You need to make a choice to not be afraid. Why? Why should I do that? Well, because God said to do it. He said, do not be afraid. You have to begin to have faith, if God says, do not be afraid, that you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to let fear dominate your life. There's many people that let the fear dominate their life, but you don't have to. You can be free from fears. I'm not afraid to go home today. I'm going to go home and have a great time after this service and put my feet up and watch reruns of the All Canada Cup series and make sure whatever I'm going to do, thank God. So it says, do not be afraid. So you're going to have to put your faith in God. You're going to have to go to God, go to his shelter, go to His house. You live in God. You have to live with God. The Bible says here, remember it says, those who live in the shelter of the Most High. That means you're going to live with God. As we mentioned earlier on another session, we said that those who dwell in a secret place of the Most High, that's people who live with God 24/7. That's not talking about you visiting God between your episodes of drinking, running around and doing all kinds of stuff. No, you have to live with God 24 hours a day. You can't just expect God's protection if you're going to live like the devil for in the middle of the week, and then go to God Wednesday, maybe visit Him for a while at church, and then go back to all the stuff you're doing, and then Sunday morning you turn around, come back to God again. And no, you have to stay with God 24/7. That's what He says, that you're in that secret place where the devil can't get to you. And so people always say, you know, I wonder why that Christian, you know, he's a Christian guy, or what. That woman, I remember hearing somebody said, well, I wonder why that pastor's wife, you know, she died of cancer, and what happened to her? Well, I don't know. No one knows, but you don't know everybody's mind. You don't know what they're doing. And people blame God for sending cancer on this woman, and they have all kinds of they try to fill their theology with their, you know, whatever their thought, whatever people thought. But the Bible said, never shows us that God sends sickness to make people sick. And so, you know, we need to stay in the promises of God, because it's our protection. So do not be afraid of the terrors of night, nor the arrows that fly by day. Do not dread disease that stalks in the darkness, or disaster that strikes at midday. So there's all kinds of fears that you're not supposed to be afraid of according to the Scripture. Though 1,000 fall at your side and 10,000 all are around you, these evils will not touch you. That tells me that I could be immune to whatever's going on. Like, you know, I remember I was telling my wife there the other day, I knew exactly when I had that cold came on me. I knew exactly the moment I was in my office, and I knew exactly when that came on me. I told her, I knew exactly when that cold came on me, because I let my faith down. And I begin to have a kind of a mental lapse and begin to think differently, different from the Word of God. But you see, you know, there are natural things. It's not always the devil, but there's natural things in this world that you live in, this natural world, and this world is full of contamination, and you can get sick just being around different people, because if they're sick all the time, or people sick around you. But this Scripture tells me I have faith. I can have faith to not have that get on me. I don't know if you're listening to this or not. You need to begin to look at what the Scripture says. People are falling all over you like flies, but all these things will not come near you. Thank God for that, amen. Though 1,000 fall at your side, though 10,000 are dying around you, these evils will not touch you. That's the Bible. You can claim that Scripture today, and go to the Scripture, either that's true or is it false or wishful thinking. No, this is the Word of God. We need to believe that this is not coming around my house. Can you say amen out there? Amen. And so it says there, let me look at some more here. Okay, so these evils not touch you. Just open your eyes and see the wicked are, how the wicked are punished. If you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you. No plague will come near your home, for He will order His angels to protect you. Now, I was going to talk about angels this morning a little bit. Angels are created to protect our lives. And I thank God that we all have an angel. Everybody has an angel here. All the staff that are here, your angel's with you right now. And there are other angels that are there along as well, that will help you. I've got different scriptures. I went through a whole bunch of scriptures to show how angels protect us. You know, how did they do it? Well, I don't know, but God, they're creatures from heaven. God created them to serve us, to protect us. Now, you can't tell your angel, go get me a bottle of Coke, because that's not in the scriptures. They'll do what God says. They'll protect you. You know, so thank God for His protection. God has provided that. We might go to the scriptures later on, but here it says that, where were we here? Angels, for He will order His angels to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up with their hands, and you won't even hurt your foot against a stone. You will trample upon the lions and the cobras. You will crush fierce lions and serpents under your feet. The Lord says, I'll rescue those who love me. I'll protect those who trust in my name. See, you have to be able to come to the Scripture and believe this. Believe in His name, the mighty name of Jesus. When they call on me, I will answer them. You have to have faith that if you call on the Lord, He's going to answer you. I'll be with them in trouble. So we're in a trouble time. He said, I'll be with you in trouble. He didn't say you'll never have trouble. People think, well, because I've got faith means I'll never have trouble. No, faith is to help you get through the trouble. Faith is to help you to go through the trial. So thank God that he said, I'll be with you in trouble. I'll rescue and honor you. I will reward them with long life and give them my salvation. Thank God that he said he's going to give us long life. And so, I tell my children, I'm going to be here for a while. Thank God for that. Amen. So no fears. No fears. Psalm 34:4 says, all fears means that no fear of any kind can disturb your peace. Thank God. There'll be no phobias, no insecurities, no terror attacks, no economic situation, no fears about children or have children. So, you know, the world trains us to fear and to have worry. Many times, you know, maybe you've said, I know some people have said this, you don't ever worry about me. Well, of course, you shouldn't worry about anything. Put our faith in God. So don't be troubled if you're having a hard time right now. Maybe you struggle with some fear. Let me just give you some scripture here. John chapter 14, verse 1 and verse 27. I'm reading the scriptures here. I believe it's an amplified version, I believe. Or the amplified classical. Okay, so it says, do not be troubled by anything. That's even the COVID-19 or anything that's going on. Fear, lack of toilet paper. Whatever it is you're afraid of. Don't be troubled by anything. In fact, Jesus said, do not let your hearts be troubled, afraid or cowardly. Believe confidently in God. Trust in Him. Have faith. Hold on to it. Rely on it. Keep on going. Believe also in me, Jesus said. Verse 27, the Amplified says, peace I leave with you. My perfect peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Do not let it be afraid. Let my perfect peace be calm you in every circumstance. I give you courage and strength for every challenge. So that's what God says. In this time, He said, I'm going to give you this perfect peace for every challenge that you're facing. Well, thank God for that. You don't have to be afraid. God says you don't have to do it alone. I'm going to be there with you. Go over to Psalm verse 27, 1 to 14, and we're going to read the New Living Translation. Psalm 27, 1 to 14. The Lord is my shepherd, or the Lord is my light and my salvation. Why should I be afraid? The Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger. So why should I tremble? When people come to devour me, when my enemies and foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though a mighty army surrounds me, my heart will not be afraid. Even if I am attacked, I will remain confident. This one thing I ask the Lord, this one thing I seek most, is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfections and meditating in His temple. For He will conceal me there when trouble comes. See, this is what you have to see. The scripture saying the same. They all say the same, that He will conceal you, protect you. Another scripture said He'll put a canopy over you. And when trouble comes, He'll do that. He will hide you in His sanctuary. He'll place me out of reach on a high rock. When I hold up my head up above my enemies, then will I hold up my head above my enemies who surround me. At His sanctuary, I will offer sacrifices with shouts of joy, shouting and praising the Lord with music. Well, that's good, because the Lord is protecting you. He is your salvation. Let's go over here to Psalm 27. I'm going to read the New Living. Scripture. Let's go to read verse 7 and verse 14. Hear me as I pray, O Lord. Be merciful and answer me. My heart has heard you say, come and talk to me. My heart responds, Lord, I am coming. Do not turn your back from me. Do not reject your servant in anger. You have always been my helper. Do not leave me now. Do not abandon me, O God, my salvation. Even if my father and my mother abandon me, Lord, will hold me close. Teach me how to live. O Lord, lead me along the right path, for my enemies are waiting for me. Do not let me fall into their hands, for they accuse me of things I have never done. With every breath, they threaten me with violence. Yet I am confident I will see the Lord's goodness while I'm here in the land of the living. Wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and be courageous. Yes, wait patiently for the Lord. Psalm 27:13, the New English translation says this. Psalm 27:3, New English says, in verse 13, where would I be? Where would I be if I had not believed I would experience the Lord's favor in the land of living? You know, you would ask yourself these things. Where would I be right now without God? Where would I be? I always think about people, other people. I think about that yesterday. I was in my room and said, now, where are people without God, without His Word? Like, they must be scrambling around, having anxiety attacks. Like, they must have to, mentally, they must have to try to think of other things all the time instead of having peace. That's not real peace. Always trying to put your mind on something else. You're constantly fighting with your mind. But God says, I'll give you peace in your mind and in your heart. So where would I be, the psalmist says, if I did not believe I experienced the Lord's favor? So the Lord's favor is with us. So the scripture says that faith expects, you know, we expect good things to happen in our lives. Here it says, Hebrews 11, verse 1, hope, you know, faith is the substance of things hoped for. So we need to know, it's good to have hope. We need to put our trust that tomorrow is going to be a better day. But we grab a hold of that with our faith, that things are going to be better today. So we need to not live in fear, constant fear. As we mentioned earlier, 1 John 4:18, that when we have understanding of the love of God, we will never have, this fear plaguing us constantly. Let us be mindful of that. So why do I fear the future? So here's Deuteronomy chapter 20, and verse 3 says, and shall say to them, hear, O Israel, you are advancing today to battle against your enemies. Do not lack courage. Do not be afraid. Don't panic or tremble in terror before them. So here it says in here, we need to take courage to know that God is there with you. He's going to be there 24/7 helping you, but you need to stay close to God during these times. So when we have faith in God, we're not going to fall by the wayside. We're not going to be afraid of bad news. You know, there's lots of bad news coming to you. Now, here's what Psalm 112, verse 7 says. I'm reading the New Living Translation. It says, do not fear. They do not fear bad news. That's talking about you and I, when we put our trust in God, that we're walking with Him. They do not fear bad news. Why? They confidently trust in the Lord to care for them. So when you believe that God is taking care of you, you will not fear. No matter what it is, no matter what kind of news is coming to you, you will not fear. Matthew 24:6 says, and you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. So when you see trouble all around you, do not be troubled. Do not be afraid. So Psalm 56:4 said, in God I will praise God. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh will do to me. So thank God for His word. We need to see today that we can have perfect peace. Here's what Philippians 4:6-7, the King James says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, the Bible says the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. So we can understand, you know, that God's peace can be ours right now. No matter what is going on and around your life, we can be in peace. It's possible to be at peace no matter what's going on in your life, what turmoil is going around. So the peace of God will protect your mind, protect your heart, and give all your concerns to God today. No matter what it is, give your concern to God. And it's when you hold on to your concerns. If when you're worrying about stuff, holding on to your worries, that tells us that you haven't given it up to God. Learn to give it over to God. And when it tries to get back to you, say, no, I'm not taking that again. I gave it to God. He's taking care of it. And he's doing something about it right now to help me. So thank God. So we need peace at this time. You know, we ask ourselves, what is peace? It could mean many things, but over here in the Amplified Bible, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, the Classical Edition says this. It says, perfect well-being, having everything that is necessary, good for our lives, or things provided for living, no problems bothering you, nothing agitating or urges or compulsions driving you mad. So look at this here. May God's grace, God's favor, God's peace, which is perfect well-being, all necessary good, all spiritual prosperity and freedom from fears and agitating passions and moral conflicts be multiplied to you in the full, personal, precise, correct knowledge of God, of our Lord Jesus Christ. Once we know about God, the more word you can get, the more peace you can experience. So get the word of God into you. Go to the word, study the word, and say, this belongs to me. So peace is a state of mind of tranquility and serenity. It's freedom of mind, of annoyance, of distraction, from anxiety and obsessiveness. That's what one translation says about what peace is all about. Peace is a state of tranquility, Merriam-Webster says. Tranquility or quiet, it's a freedom from disquieting or oppressive thoughts and emotion, as some might have say. I have perfect peace and contentment. So learn to give your thoughts to God. Say, Lord, I'm going to give you this thought. I'm going to thank you for your goodness. The Bible says people without God don't have that kind of peace. They can't get that kind of peace. They cannot have peace. The world without God has no peace. So in Isaiah 57, verse 21, the New Living says there's no peace for the wicked. There's no peace for the wicked. Some people are looking for peace, but they can't find it because they don't know it's only found in God. Romans chapter 3, I believe, is verse 16 or 17 there. Yeah. It says they don't know where to find peace. People don't know where to find peace. We need to find peace in the right place, and that is found in God. Only God can give you this peace in this time where you're having troubles. So sometimes people offer you peace, but they don't have peace themselves. They offer you a superficial peace. Notice this, Jeremiah 8 and 11, New Living. They offer superficial treatments for my people's mortal wounds. They give assurances of peace when there is no peace. Well, you know, we need to see what God says. That's exactly where we need to go, what he says. Over in Thessalonians 5:23, it says, now the God of peace make you holy in every way. May your whole spirit, your soul and body be kept blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the God of peace, we have a God of peace. Thank God for that peace that you have in your heart today. So, you know, I don't know what you're suffering with right now. I don't know what your challenge is right now. But God wants to be there for you right now. If you would just turn your life over to God, give your life over to the Lord Jesus Christ and believe what he says in his word, he died for your sins. He died for so that you can have not only peace, but eternal peace, life everlasting. So I would like you, if you're out there today, I would like you to, you know, make a prayer of consecration and dedication. Maybe you need to reaffirm your conviction towards God by making a prayer of not just salvation, but to rededicate your life to God. Every now and then, you need to pray that prayer. I remember a man that we admire so much said, you know, every Christian should always have a rededication service for themselves. They should always pray the prayer of consecration and dedication and submission to God regularly. Say, Lord, whatever it is, whatever I'm doing in my life, I'm giving you my life. I'm giving you my all. I give everything I have to you. I'm surrendering my family, my business, my work, my relationships, whatever it is, Father, in the name of Jesus. Turn to God today. Ask Him to give you that peace that passes all understanding, and He'll give it to you. If you've never asked Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life, you can do that today by saying, Lord, I believe You're the Son of God. Jesus, I believe You're God's Son. And I ask You to come in my life today. I know I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. God, You can only save me. You provided salvation for me through the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you just turn yourself over to Him, He will save you today. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. If you do that today, God will save you. I want to give you a couple more scriptures here. The Bible says that Jesus not only died for your salvation, but He died so that you'd have peace. I remember years ago, I was suffering a lot of anxiety. I was going through different times. You know, I suffered greatly with anxiety. As a kid, things happened to me and my family that if it wasn't for the Lord, I don't think I would ever have been healed. I mean, I tried counseling. I went to see a psychiatrist. I went to see different counselors, and nothing ever helped. But only one day, when I was traveling down the road, the Lord spoke to me. And He said to me, I heard the Lord say to me, did you know I died for your peace? And He gave me this scripture right over here. In Psalm 53, verse 5, the New King James Version says, He suffered and died so that we could have peace right now, and the Bible says. He was wounded for our transgressions. He is bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes, by His stripes we are healed. So God, only God can give you that peace. Jesus died for it. He wants to give you that peace. When Jesus left, He said, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives it, do I give it to you. See, this world cannot give you that kind of peace you want. Only God can give you that peace. You can go to bed tonight, like Psalm chapter 4, verse 8 says, you can go to bed tonight and be at perfect peace. Sleep like a baby. And I remember after I got born again, came to Jesus, I could sleep better. And I wasn't worried about my future because I knew God had this thing all in control for me because I gave Him my life. So here's what the book of Job says concerning peace. You know, we need peace during this time. Job 22, 21, and 30. The New Living Translation says, submit to God and you'll have peace. And this is why people have Christians, even they say they know God, they have a Bible in every room in their house. They can access different things, but they themselves are supposed to have peace. They're not having peace because they're not submitted to God the way they should. Maybe there's parts of your life that you're afraid it's going to fall apart. The Bible says if you just give your life over to God, some people have problems with their finances because they have never given their finances over to God. They're always afraid of money, losing out, whatever it is. They're having anxiety attacks about it. But it says, submit to God, the New Living Translation, and verse 21, submit to God and you'll have peace. Then things will go well for you. Listen to His instructions and store them in your heart. If you return to the Almighty, you'll be restored. So clean up your life. If you give up your lust for money and throw your precious gold to the river, the Almighty Himself will be your treasure. See, that's how far you have to go to, you have to go to great length to want God. Some people just go so far, to throw all your money away to find God. That's something else. You got to be able to do that. Now, you might not do that, but you got to be willing to give it all. I remember years ago when I came to the Lord. The Lord was slowly talking to me, getting me into the things where I should be. And I remember I had different things in my life that I was really attached to. In fact, when I was going to AA, I really loved AA. I just enjoyed it. But the Lord took me out of there because I trusted that to give me my peace. Trusted that to give me the what I needed to live in his life. I trusted different things, like material things, money, cars, activities that I trusted in that would identify myself with. But the Lord had to strip me of all these things, told me to give it up, and come to him. And so that's when I begin to know the peace that I enjoy today. I'm not afraid today of losing anything, because the scripture says you came into this world with nothing, you're going to leave with nothing. Somebody said that you cannot take anything from this world when you die, but you can take people with you. You can take souls with you to heaven. You can't take anything from. So you give it up to God today. So we need to surrender our hearts to the Lord. You know, if you're suffering, having a difficult time today, give your life to the Lord. You know, I'm talking about Christians, just people who are said they're Christian, but they're just suffering from anxiety attacks and whatever it is. Learn to put your trust in God. God will give you peace. And I remember that time when they sent me to my doctor sent me to a psychiatrist. I was a little bit of a hypochondriac, and he sent me up to upstairs. He said, "Go take this up to this upstairs and go see this person." And I started visiting the psychiatrist every week, but it didn't help me because I didn't really, you know, God only knew. He can only give me peace. God's the only one. So I mentioned the scripture earlier, Psalm 26:3 says, when we get our minds off the problems and onto God, we'll experience peace. You'll keep them in perfect peace, the scripture says, all who trust in you, whose thoughts are fixed on you. So I want you to understand today, wherever you are, fix your mind. If you're afraid of the future, begin to fix your mind on the things of God. He's already got you covered. Thank God for it. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, I pray for all the people that are watching in the name of Jesus. I pray that they'll have this experience, this perfect peace of salvation. I thank you that they are your children. They're experiencing your perfect love that casts out all fears. You said this man cried out and you delivered him from all his fears. I want to thank you, Lord God. And we also not only handle the mentality part of our fears, but we answer the spiritual aspect of fear, and that we say, we resist you, fear, in the name of Jesus. You have to resist fear. You have to say, fear, I resist you in the name of Jesus. You will not control my life anymore. I resist you. Anything that comes up that I fear, I will not accept it any longer. I resist fear. No matter what it is, I will not be afraid. Begin to do that right now. Just say, Jesus, you are my protection. You are my strength. I thank you this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.